Of all of our hearts, be ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated.
In 1914, a writer by the name of H.G. Wells wrote a series of essays about the war in Europe. In it, he said that this war, the war that was now sweeping Europe, was the war to end all wars. That this war would surely finally show the futility of war to solve the differences between nations. It was a very hopeful statement, and it was wrong. Because even by the time the peace treaty was being held and people were saying, that's it, this is the war that will end all wars, there were seeds being planted that would result in yet another conflagration sweeping Europe barely a generation later. We keep hoping that the war we are currently fighting will be the war to end all wars. That certainly was what the people who were talking to Jesus were hoping. That this war, will be the war to end war. But that, Jesus says, is a false hope. Because there will be wars and rumors of wars, he tells the disciples. But that does not mean the end is near. We keep hoping, we keep reading, and we tend to read this prediction in Mark, hoping every time that we struggle once again with violence and with war, that this is the one that will bring the Son of Man, that will finally cause God to step in and intervene, and finally we will have the war that ends war. But as Jesus tells us, just because we have yet another war does not mean that the end is near. So what on earth are the faithful to do? If this war, if this violence, if this attack is not finally the thing that makes us rethink violence, what are those who are faithful Christians to do? Well, later on in this passage, Jesus promises one thing. He promises that no matter what terrible things are coming, that those who endure to the end will be saved. The first call for Christians is to endure, to hang in there, to not give up hope. Because that is the great temptation that Jesus knows is going to strike the disciples. When they are called up into persecution, when they have wars and rumors of wars and still more terrible things, the first temptation will be to give up, to presume that all of this was a false promise, that the promise that one day there might be peace, that God is moving in the world and is drawing us towards a new reconciliation, to give up on that hope and to respond just as we always feel called to respond, not with love and forgiveness, but with revenge and anger and more violence. To plant the seeds for yet another war. The first call for Christians is to not give up, to trust the promises of God, even in the face of war and rumor of war. And the second is to proclaim the gospel, because that's the other thing Jesus tells them. He says, all of these things because this is just the beginning of a new creation. And first, the gospel must be proclaimed everywhere to everyone, to all nations. And what does it mean to proclaim the gospel? It doesn't simply mean to harangue people into believing what we believe. It means to share in our lives and in our actions and in our words the good news that God is seeking to redeem all of creation, that God has entered into human history in order to begin a process of reconciling us to God and to one another. It is to give us hope that peace is possible, that we can respond differently, that a different vision of the world is still possible. One of my favorite theological statements comes from a television show called Angel. If you've seen the show, you know it's about a vampire detective in Los Angeles. Why he constantly risks his own destruction in order to come to the aid of the innocent and the powerless, those who cannot fight the evils that beset them. And he tells him, we live as though the world were what it should be, in order to show the world what it could be. And I think that is exactly what God calls us into as Christians. To live as though the world were what it should be. A place where love and forgiveness reign. A place in which we are all being drawn more deeply into God's love and God's embrace. A place in which we recognize the value of every human person. And hatred and war and violence are no longer what we hear. To live as though that were possible. Because when we proclaim the resurrection, that's what we say is possible. And the world doesn't really believe it. So many people do not believe that. And we have to live as though it were that way in order to show the world that it could be that way. In the next couple of weeks, as our grief and our anger about what has happened in Paris and Beirut, what has happened over and over again through our history, pours out, we will hear many, many calls to respond with violence, to respond with overwhelming force, that this one should be the war to end all wars. That this time, we can respond with enough power to make that true. But that is not the case. As Jesus said, just because we hear wars and rumor of wars does not mean that the end is come. The end is something very different. The end involves proclaiming the gospel, living the gospel, that God loves all of us. That forgiveness and reconciliation is God's will for the world. That there will be an end to war because the God of peace is coming. It feels impossible that we can ever, with our small commitments, that in such a way of committing to peace, that we can break down walls of hatred and violence and intolerance, that we can break down the huge walls that separate us of anger and oppression. But that's what the disciples thought looking at the walls of the temple. The great and mighty walls of the temple made of blocks so great, how could anyone move them? And Jesus says, they will be thrown down.
As Christians, we are invited to live in trust and certainty that the walls of hatred will be thrown down. Because God has entered human history and is calling all of us to reconciliation and to love. We have our work cut out for us. Because this is the gospel that needs to be proclaimed to all nations. So let us begin with a prayer. This is the Book of Common Prayers, Prayer for Our Enemies, on page 816 of the Red Book. O God, the Father of all, whose Son commanded us to love our enemies, lead them and us from prejudice to truth. Deliver them and us from hatred, cruelty, and revenge. And in your good time, enable us all to stand reconciled before you, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.